Mark Teller, the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op. Hey, Mark, how are you doing today?
Doing good. I'm admiring your new voice.
Yeah, it's...
it's a cleanse, huh?
It's been... I've been doing the zeolite. I've been adding a lot more zeolite to my diet, taking two glasses of water two glasses of water every day, full of it, and I'm noticing that...
Yep, you're cleansing.
I'm cleansing, and right now it's showing up in my voice.
Okay, well, let's not worry. We don't want people to think that you, together with me, could possibly ever get sick. So we know that this is not a flu. This is a cleansing reaction.
It's a cleansing reaction, that's right. And I suspect that there are times when we will actually be sick.
Oh, it can happen.
It can happen.
Okay, but let's not dwell on it. I just wanted to pre-frame it so people don't think that we don't know it.
Right.
Or acknowledge it, or try to hide it.
So, and it's funny talking because it's you know, just sound a little different than I normally do. And
yes.
So, it's my, it's my sexy, gravelly voice.
Yeah, I like it. You'll get more... fan mail this way.
That's right, that's right. So today we wanted to talk about diabetes.
Indeed. We have been on a tear into the inflammatory conditions. Sometimes I think that the Life Enthusiast Co-op is all about inflammatory conditions. Mm-hmm. Because if you really think about it, heart disease is an inflammatory condition in the circulatory system. Fibromyalgia is an inflammatory disease in the soft tissue, like the muscles. What else can we come up with? Hashimoto's is the inflammatory disease in the thyroid alone. Vitiligo is an inflammatory disease in the pigment layer of your skin. Arthritis is an inflammatory disease in your joints and cartilage. Mm-hmm. So here goes diabetes. It is essentially an inflammatory disease in the pancreas. But that's not the primary problem. The primary problem is, inflammation is never the cause of the inflammation. And this is where the, Western technological medicine gets it all wrong, because they chase the symptom. So the symptom they chase in this situation is your body's inability to deal with sugar, to deal with calories. So when your glucose levels in your blood consistently stay high, they call it you have diabetes.
Right. So then they say the answer is to reduce it.
Right. Well, what they're saying is that we must remove glucose from your blood, or else you will go into a coma and so on, which is true. That's what will happen. I mean, diabetes is a very ugly situation when it comes to, your sugar levels rise so much that you go into a coma and you die. In fact, there are two ways you can get there. One is that your body doesn't produce enough the hormone called insulin. The other way is that it doesn't properly use it. So there are two sides to it. That the ending result is that you have high level of glucose. But how do you get to high level of glucose? So, the basic problem is too much glucose, your cells are getting starved, and you will have all kinds of damage to your fragile tissues. You know, like your eyes, for instance, are more fragile than your buttocks, kind of thing. So, you will lose your sight before you lose your ability to move your leg. Your kidneys, they again are more fragile than something less complex. So you could lose your kidneys and your nerves and your heart. So that's not funny. Um, Oh, absolutely. But, okay, so let's just cover the symptoms just so we know what happens with people if they might be getting it. You know, the first biggest sign people notice that they're really thirsty and then they start drinking excessively, lots and lots. And then, of course, they will be feeling hungry and tired because, you know, the energy system is not working. And also the bizarre thing is that they might be actually losing weight, which is curious because many, many diabetics are actually overweight.
Right.
So,
But so we don't recommend this as a weight loss program.
You got it.
But is it also possible that you could be diabetic with no symptoms?
Oh yes, very much so. Very much so. That's the curious thing. You might be feeling okay, and yet your insulin levels are either too high or too low, and your glucose levels are going to be off the charts, and you might not know it, and you might be suffering this damage to your organs. And you know, if you let it go too long, you really end up with this heavy damage. I mean, the end stages of diabetic life are not very pretty. Most people who live with diabetes long enough, pardon me, me too, most of them will lose eyesight. Many of them will lose their legs. You know, the necrosis sets in. It starts at the toes. Sometimes they amputate just the toes, sometimes the lower leg, sometimes... Sorry about this. Sometimes they have to amputate all the way up to the knees. You know, it's not funny. And that's because circulation is insufficient and the body just cannot maintain itself.
So an unpleasant ending, which is not what we want, right?
No. So if you have dry, itchy skin or tingling or even loss of feeling in feet or blurry eyesight, you might be in the beginnings of it. And then, of course, slow to heal, frequent infections. You know, like one thing we know that, for instance, when a child scratches itself, you know, on a leg or something, that thing heals within a day or two. You may notice that on people whose immune system isn't in a great order, that scratch will linger for weeks, if not months. You know, like it may heal over, but then there's going to be this purple spot left on the body for a long, long time. And I remember looking at my, a niece of mine. You know, she's quite heavy. And I remember looking at these mosquito bites that she'd had. And, like, they lingered on. You know, my mosquito bite disappears in 2 days.
Right.
Hers were... I can't believe what's going on with my throat. I don't know that we should be recording these things early in the morning like this.
That's right. I think you just have a sympathetic throat to mine. We're just in tune so much.
Yes, that must be that. Anyway, you know, I remember looking at her lower legs and saying, well, how is it possible we're into September, mosquitoes have been gone for 2 months and you still have these mosquito bites? And that's what it looks like. It's slow healing of even minor injuries.
Wow.
But anyway, you don't have to go there. And even if you're there, you can reverse it. And the strangest thing is this. People think that the cause is genetic. You know, like, indeed, ethnic groups, like the biggest... you know, statistics, because of course, you know, the Western medicine is proud of all their statistics. You know, Native Americans, African Americans, Hispanics are way overrepresented in diabetes.
Mm.
But it's not because of genetics other than their blood type, because most of them are blood type O, And as we already talked about this many times, blood type O doesn't do well with carbohydrates.
Right.
But because of this crazy politics of food production in America, the cheapest food is carbohydrate. We have immensely subsidized large-scale agriculture that grows corn and wheat and soy. So, you know, the cheapest food you get are macaroni and cheese and box of Doritos and potato chips.
Right.
What did I just describe?
Lots of carbohydrates.
Cheap carbs. And what is happening in the blood when you eat cheap carbs? You have loads and loads of glucose. So, essentially you're overloading your body that is designed to be a hunter-gatherer's body, meaning you're supposed to go out there and find a deer and kill it and rip out his liver and eat it fresh.
Right.
That sort of diet. Or you're supposed to find some berries and roots that are at best really rich in inulin and you know, not a whole lot of sugar at all. Because here's the horrendous mistake of our lifestyle. We are designed to love salt, sweet, and fat. But that's because there's not much of it out there in nature.
All right.
But what happens, so we naturally seek it out. We are wired to want that, because that is the sort of stuff that if we were living off the land, we would want to find that and use that. But now that we're living off of the mall strip, it's very different. I mean, there's an unending supply of salt, sweet, and fat.
An overabundance of it, in fact.
Oh, well, horrendous, you know. And French fry, you know, the deep fried, sweet inside and fluffy, fat on the outside and salty. I mean, it's the most irresistible food there is to anyone's palate.
Oh, yeah. I never thought of it that way before.
And yet, it is the food that has the highest glycemic index. You know, like potato is 100. Actually, we should probably mention the glycemic index somehow, right?
Yeah. Well, what is the glycemic index?
It was actually developed by Canadians. And anyway, what they were trying to do is compare things. So if you take glucose, which is the most available, most readily digestible form of energy, that would be a 100. And so how does X compare to glucose? So things that have a 100 are just as digestible and convertible into pure energy as glucose itself. So, of course, sugar will be 100. Surprisingly, starch is 100. So potato is 100. The funniest thing is white flour or white wheat, you know, white bread, is a 99. And whole wheat bread is 98. So,
not a lot of difference.
No. I mean, you get some extra fiber with it coming for the ride, but the calories are instant. So, you know, carrot juice, even though it's on the healthy side, is also really high on the glycemic index. Things that are low on the glycemic index will be things like steak or dark green vegetables or, you know, that sort of food that will not yield its energy readily.
And that's what you want, because if you had what you get is a spike of energy with a high glycemic index, which means that you get tired quicker, like it lasts for a short period of time, and then you're back to being hungry again.
Right. If I were to try and give an analogy, whiplash comes to mind. You know, too far back, too far forward, too far back again. So when you eat high glycemic index stuff, you have a huge spike of energy, and everything gets mobilized. You know, now your organs that are supposed to deal with overabundance of sugar in your blood spring to action, which is your pancreas. So, da-da-da-da-da, you know, whip it, we have too much sugar. But the reaction is always too strong, because normally you shouldn't get the high glycemic index. You should have a slow burn or a slow input of this sugar. So the pancreas overreacts. So the next thing that happens is it has burned off all of the excess sugar, and now you have a slump. Now you have not enough. Now you're glycemic, or hypoglycemic, which is, you're feeling sleepy, tired, jittery even.
Right.
And you're looking for the next fix. And so if you're trying to cope with it by taking additional hits of sugar, you know, it, like, I don't know, the person is just running to their coffee shop to get their donuts and a drink.
Yeah.
Because they're, like, shaking, right? I mean, this is, I hate to say it, but, you know, sugar addiction is probably worse than cocaine addiction. I think it's more difficult to shake than cocaine.
Wow.
Anyway, so there we have the whipsaw effect. Up too much, down too much, up too much, down too much. And your body is burning carbs for calories. But we are designed for burning fat for calories. And so for these affected groups, you know, the Native American, the African American, Hispanic, and so on, but also probably about half of the Caucasians as well. The only cure is that you need to get yourself off carbohydrates. Just off. And yet, what do they tell a diabetic when they're having a difficult moment?
Have some sugar.
Yeah, eat a chocolate bar. It's just terrible. What else do they tell them? Eat some oatmeal or whatever. Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. They're trying to do a short-term fix for a long-term problem. In fact, I believe that insulin is not a hormone whose primary function is to deal with sugar. I believe its primary function is storage of energy. So,
okay.
So its main job was supposed to be to just simply store energy for future use. So in times of feast, it would look after removing the excess energy and store it in fat, so that in times of famine, you would have it available. Well, unfortunately, in our society, it's feast, followed by feast, followed by feast. Famine,
exactly,
famine never shows up. So, what do we do to for a person with diabetes? The same thing that we would do for a person with any other inflammatory disease. Isn't that strange? So what are the causes that you can control? Let's take some guesses here. Diet. You know, I just finished talking about it. Too much protein. I mean, too much fat, too much refined carbohydrate, but especially intake of sugar. So those are the sweetened drinks. Now please do not switch from sweet sugar sweetened soda drinks to diet sweetened aspartame or whatever else drinks. That's not what we mean. You need to switch to drinks that are just simply non-stimulating, like structured water, energized water. Please don't switch into the diet drink, because that's, we have a whole other segment on the website that explains what aspartame will do for you.
Yeah, all the nice things that it'll do for you.
It's a neurotoxin, don't touch it, please. Anyway, lack of physical activity. How obvious is that? We were supposed to walk something like 10 to 15 miles a day, every day. We're designed to work under load. You know, women typically still do that. They carry babies all day long. But what are the men doing? You know, we were supposed to go out there hunting and return home with a 50-pound kill on our back, sometimes coming back a 6 to 10 mile trek. Well, we don't work that hard anymore.
So what you're saying is that when we see pictures of these put quotes around poor, unquote, women in Africa that are walking 5 miles to get their water and then putting a big jug of water on their head and walking 5 miles back, they're living the lifestyle that we're designed to live.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. They may be lacking some specific nutrients because, you know, they may not be as healthy as they could be because of the poverty, because they might be living on some monoculture diets. They might, you know, missing something, or their soil in their village is possibly depleted of a specific nutrients that they are missing. So they may not be in perfect health because of those reasons. But as far as their lifestyles, they are definitely a lot healthier than what you would expect.
Or they're in a healthier lifestyle than we think that they are, based on what we think a healthy lifestyle is in our society.
Yes, definitely that. So anyway, on the list of causes, you know, excessive tension and worry, what does that do to your body? It stresses it. It causes wrong kind of hormones to come up. You know, cortisol will stress your body as a result of stress, and will cause inflammation, which, you know, depends. I mean, it could express itself as fibromyalgia, but it may express itself as diabetes as well. High blood pressure and high cholesterol are, again, associated with diabetes. They're not the cause of diabetes. It just happens to be that those are also caused by the same problems that diabetes is caused by. I mentioned that heart disease is a mostly inflammatory problem. And indeed, there it is. And then the other thing that the doctor will give you, well, family history, you know. Do you have family history of diabetes? Then you should be watching. You know, most of the time I believe that a family history is because your grandma taught your mother how to eat and cook or prepare food. So, of course, the history is that the whole thing is living on too much sugar, too much carb, too much of the wrong kind of food. And it's passed on from generation to generation. By the time you're 4 years old, you're addicted to that kind of food prep, and you don't even know it.
Right.
And so it's passed on from generation to generation, and you have to actually step outside of that, get yourself educated, and understand that that it's the lifestyle of the generations. And it probably got there in a step-by-step gradual slide. Because as more, how should I say that? As more food that's easily digested becomes available, we incorporate it in our diets because we're wired to want it. You know, pizza is a concert of flavors that that's irresistible. It's constructed to be irresistible.
Yeah, that's right. Well, when you were talking, I was just thinking of the Irish and the potato famine.
Yes.
And everything else. I'm thinking, well, here's a country that basically all they did was, I shouldn't say all they did, but they grew potatoes predominantly to feed themselves.
Right.
And that's 100 on the glycemic index. So,
yes.
You know, would they have a lot of diabetics and other issues going on because of that?
They probably did. But, you know, the famine itself was, you know, the society became dependent on a single crop, and then the crop failed, and all of a sudden you had this huge amount of people going hungry because the single resource that they relied on all of a sudden became unavailable. I mean, this could happen on a very large scale to us too, you know. This experimentation with genetically modified foods is a very curious thing. It may turn out that all of a sudden something will develop that will overwhelm the monoculture agriculture that we have developed. You know, for instance, we grow huge quantities of wheat on enormous, gigantic fields. But if some kind of a blight develops, I don't know what that is, but, you know, nature is a strange place. All kinds of stuff develops there. All of a sudden, our wheat crop could fail. We could all of a sudden have a 25% loss, 30% loss of yield that's coming off of the field. Mm-hmm. Well, if we are feeding the world comfortably now, what will happen if we lose 30% of it? Does it mean that 30% of the population dies off? Or does it mean that only 10% dies off while everybody else just eats a little less? I don't know, but 10% die-off is something like 700 million people.
Yeah, it's massive.
It's gigantically awful. I don't wish it on us, but it could happen, you know. It happened to other societies. You know, in the Mayans, their society collapsed in the 9th century. You know, they built something on around corn, and I don't know, you know, I wasn't there, but all I know is that peak of the civilization, and all of a sudden the whole thing collapsed within about 100 years.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm getting on too many tangents. So what would a person do once they think that they may have diabetes? What should they do? Well, it should be the same thing that a person that thinks that they have arthritis or fibromyalgia or any other inflammatory disease. They need to change their lifestyle. There's no ifs, no buts, no arguing. If you have diabetes and you continue to do what you've always done, you're going to continue to get what you've already got.
Yeah.
So please get this. If you have diabetes or other associated conditions such as metabolic syndrome X, high blood pressure, overweight, especially in the middle, you know, blurry vision, itchy skin, all of that stuff. If you continue living the lifestyle that you have got yourself to this place with, you will die of it. Ta-da. So, please accept that change is inevitable. If you don't change, you arrive at the destination that I've already painted, with first blindness and then cut off feet and then cut off legs and then coma. That will be the liberation. It'll feel good leaving.
Well, that was a very pleasant picture that you just painted, Martin.
Well, sorry, baby, it is not a pretty road. It's not a pretty ride. So what would you do? Well, number one, glycemic index. You have to eat low on the glycemic index. What does that mean? That means raw foods, raw, uncooked vegetables. It means no carbs. Especially in the first phase, you know, like you can come back to some, but you must change quite dramatically, or else it's not going to happen. You must re-educate your body to stop burning carbs for energy and switch to fat. And that takes about 20 days, maybe 30. And in those 20 or 30 days, you pretty much need to say goodbye to carbs. There's no other way to do that. In fact, we could possibly explain the theory of leptins, but I don't know how much time we have left.
We're actually getting close to the end. I'm thinking that we should do another show on this, because I think we can get into some more. Well, I think there'll be a lot of questions that are still unanswered, right?
There are. You bet. So, okay, so let's just summarize it this way. Diabetes is an inflammatory disease that expresses itself in your body's inability to deal with sugar. There are high levels of glucose in your blood, and the enzyme, insulin, that's supposed to remove it is either not present, because there's not enough of it made, and that's how the Western medicine solves it. They just simply inject you with insulin that your body appears to be not making, or it's you may have what's known as the insulin. It's called, words escaping me. It's not a resistance, is it? Yeah,
insulin resistance.
Yeah, that's the word. Meaning that even though there is insulin in the bloodstream, that's the hormone that knocks on the door of the cell saying, I'm here, please open the door, please take this sugar. But the cells are refusing to do that. God knows why that is, but it develops. So you may have enough insulin, but the sugar is not being absorbed anyway. Anyway, if you have this condition, it's way too dangerous. You must treat it, but you don't have to treat it medically. You can treat it holistically.
Cool.
So what are the things that you can do, Scott? Let's just list it quick.
Sure. Well, I think one of the things you're going to want to do is cleanse and detoxify.
For sure.
You just talked about making sure that you're not eating sugar and white flour and potatoes and all that, so you need to have proper nutrition.
Yeah, change your diet.
Change your diet. Whenever we talk about inflammation, we're talking also about the body's pH level, so you need to balance your pH.
Right, meaning you need to start eating lots of minerals, alkalizing minerals. You need to remineralize yourself. When you're eating high-calorie, carbohydrate-based diets, you know, the bread, pizza, pasta.
Cupcakes sort of have no minerals.
Well, hardly any, yes. There's ratio of nutrients versus calories is way off the chart.
Yeah.
Too many calories.
And one of the things that you said that it really struck me was we're meant to be bearing, load-bearing and 10 miles a day.
Yes.
So exercise is very important.
Absolutely. Circulation. Remember we talked about stagnation as cause of disease not long ago?
Yes.
We're still on the same thing. Malnutrition, toxicity, and stagnation.
There you go.
Those are the causes of all of the inflammatory disease. We just need to understand the specifics of it. But the philosophy doesn't change.
Yeah. And then you also mentioned stress. So making sure that you're taking care of your space and your mind and your soul and relaxing,
yeah.
Meditating.
Right. Whether you need to meditate by sitting quietly on a little carpet in front of a candle, or if you want to just go have a game of racquetball and deal with it that way.
Yep.
It's okay either way. You know, if you need to, if you're an adrenaline kind of, you know, driver personality, you will be more comfortable in a game of hockey or soccer or something like that where. Or some individual sport like running or bike riding versus the quieter, introspective things. Either way, you can de-stress.
That's right. That's right.
Sometimes both.
So, Martin, if somebody wanted to talk to you more about diabetes or learn more about diabetes, what could they do?
Well, Life Enthusiast, life-enthusiast.com. Come and visit. Health concerns, diabetes. That's where you'll find a lot of these answers, the information that we're discussing here. We're also available on the phone, 1-866-543-3388. We will answer your questions as they come.
Wonderful. So thanks for joining us, everybody. You've been listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op online radio network, restoring vitality to you and to the planet.
Thank you.